show. Tomorrow brings, with each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. Fire before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storms. Fire before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Safe to shore, safe to shore.
You know, I was thinking about that song and Safe to Shore. Practically speaking, that doesn't really fit this culture here. We're out in the middle of eastern Montana, and it's kind of like badlands and open country and farmland. How are we going to get to shore? We're always on shore, right? But we get the message, don't we? We know that we will find a way, and we'll find that peace, and we'll find that strength and that protection from God. Hallelujah. We're going to continue on with our worship and our celebration of God's love and recognize that, you know what, whatever your challenges are, God can find a way for you to get through that. But before we continue on, we're going to pray for the offering. Some of you have already given, so thank you for that. And if you haven't had that opportunity during the song, you can bring your offerings to the altar and put them in the offering plates. If you're online, you can certainly do that online as well through that wonderful app ability there through the website or what have you. So let's just pray and bless the Lord that we can give. It's a blessing to be able to do that. Lord God, thank you for the privilege it is to give. We know that you have called us to give a portion of our income. Some will call that a tithe. Some are very literal about it. We'll give it absolutely, no matter what, 10%. We know that it's just a blessing that we can give it all. We're thankful that we can do what you've allowed us to do. We pray your anointing to be upon each and every one, for those offerings will go to the furtherance of your kingdom. They will help the ministries to go forth to reach people like we had last night, you know, giving out some candy at a parking lot at Tractor Supply and just able to bless people and say, hey, we care about you and we want to invite you to come and be a part of our kids' stuff. You know, that's just one of so many different small things that build up to big things. We're thankful that we have that privilege, Lord, because of your faithfulness. We pray anointing and a blessing on each and every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you as you give.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. You believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom, we're saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom, we're saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Yes, he is.
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowds. When you stand before them guilty, and you've got no way out. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what it is, call it grace. It's the breath that's breathing new life into what we thought was dead. It's the favor that takes orphans, placing crowns upon their heads. It's the hope for our tomorrows, the rock on which we stand. It's a strong and mighty fortress, even hell can't stand against. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what it is, call it grace. This is grace. This is grace. Unchanging, unfailing. This is grace. This is grace. Amazing, unshaking. This is grace, this is grace, unchanging, unfailing. This is grace, this is grace. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous that Jesus took our place. Call it what it is, just call it what it is. Call it
Let's just do that for a few minutes, shall we? In your own words, whatever that is, maybe it's just a quietness, but you want to shout it out. Just begin to praise the Lord. Just give him thanks and praise him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In these times of uncertainty, the Lord wants to remind us that he is still in charge.
Yes.
He is sovereign. There is nothing that surprises him.
Thank you.
There's nothing that he's not already prepared. As a matter of fact, he's prepared us for this very day, for this very time, and for the purpose of each and every one who is called.
Yes.
Trust him in all things. Follow the lead of his Spirit. Do not question it. He has a plan for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. These are uncertain times, Lord. We don't know what's going to happen from this election. We don't know what the result will be. We have our desires. We have our hopes. But Lord, we know that no matter the outcome, you are in charge. You are sovereign. You are king.
Thank you, Lord.
And we trust you. We trust you with the plan. Whether we celebrate a victory from our own perspective of what our votes are, or whether we feel the crushing blow of defeat, whatever it is, Lord, we know that we can trust you in all things.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud between. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine, to live for thee alone. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's interesting, when God created Adam from the dust of the earth, there was just nothing there until he breathed on him. And life began. After Jesus died and rose again, he just miraculously appeared before his disciples, and they were shocked and awed and afraid. And he said, "Do not be afraid." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I believe they did. And they experienced the new life that only Christ can bring. We call that being born again. I don't need to be born again. But there's something special and refreshing about the Holy Spirit just breathing on me. Isn't it ironic how we're so worried about you and I breathing on each other right now? And here we are singing into God, "Hey, breathe on me." Don't put the mask on, please. I'll take mine off too if you want. We don't have to worry about disease. We don't have to worry about a virus when God breathes. Because all he brings is life. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings himself. We need the Holy Spirit to just refresh us. I need it. someone asked me how I was doing. And it wasn't just a howdy do, how are you doing? It was a real question. And I can't say I'm not doing well, but I just feel not quite right. Anybody else that way? You're just like, just a little off. It's just getting to be a long time to deal with all this stuff. I'm thankful for people that really do care. And I don't need anything specifically to change in my circumstances. Because circumstances are not what drives me. They are not what dictate my emotions or my faith. But my heart sometimes just needs a little lift. Needs a little bit of a fresh breath from God. Maybe that's what you need too. Lord, breathe on us. We just want to be refreshed. Our spirits are just a little down. Our soul is heavy because while intentional and purposeful we are, the world still gets heavy sometimes. We don't really see it happening, but we feel something's not right. So, Lord, I just pray, refresh your church. Refresh your children. Refresh me. Thank you. Thank you for that touch. Thank you for the word.
Thank you, Jesus.
To remind us to always praise you. And we do, and we will.
Yes.
We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today. Thank you so much for joining us for worship. I'm going to ask Doug Gentry to come up. He asked for just a few moments before we move on with our service, and I'll just have him come at this time.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a good thing to be back in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. To be able to be here to worship him and praise him amongst one another. Well, I just want to say is that last month here, I know today's November 1st, but last month was Pastor Appreciation Month, and we do love our pastors, don't we? Amen. They do a wonderful work, and so right now I would like to have all the pastors, you know, Pastor Kevin, Tina, if you would come up here too, and Pastor Emma, Pastor Jennifer, Pastor Jason, come on up here, please. And I want to thank this group of people here so much for being here and supporting us and ministering to us and giving us a lot of leadership in that, their prayers for what they do for us. And so we as a church want to be able to show our love and appreciation for them. So I'd like to, you know, let's see.
Pastor Emma.
No, thank you.
There you go.
There you go, Pastor Ken.
Thank you so much.
All right. And so what I'd like to do, though, as the body here, I'd like it for everybody, if you would, if we could stand. I'd like to pray for them for this week, for this upcoming year. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege it is to be able to come into your presence right now. I want to just minister and thank you to each one of these pastors here and what they have done and dedicated to you, God, to this community, to this body right here, Lord, that you would just minister to them right now. Refresh their spirit, refresh their soul, give them a vision for what they want to do with this church and with this community, God, and how we can touch somebody for you each day, God. Let them lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. let them be sensitive to your spirit and your word and how they would do that, God. And Lord, just bless them. Lord, put a hedge of protection around them and their family, God. And Lord, we thank you. We look forward to some exciting things coming from this group of leaders, God. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Is that on?
Ooh. Somehow I flipped the mute button. Well, thank you so much. We so much love being here as a part of this wonderful family and for your continued encouragement and faithfulness. It's been tough with all of the stuff going on. I feel like we aren't able to be effective in our ministries sometimes because of the limitations that are set upon us. But I know that the Holy Spirit is bigger than our limitations. Amen. And so I just pray that God's blessing is on you as well. And I see Cheryl here today. God bless you, Cheryl. We love you so much. Glad you're here with us today as well. We are just giving thanks to God for all of his goodness. And trying to think, do we have anything specific other than just highlighting a couple announcements before I dismiss the kids? We're good? That's right. I think we need to put a call out there for BGMC. Oh, it's a switcheroo. It's got a girl's face on a blue bucket. So that was by trickery and design, right? I know my granddaughter put a bunch of change in that bucket right there, so she's not real happy, are you, Ashlyn? She's like, that's me. So, you know, well, we'll have to see how that works. If you haven't had a chance, you can put some more money in the bucket for BGMC. Otherwise, maybe after church if you want to do that too. But I will just make a couple announcements here. Let me think. What do we have to talk about? Bible study this Tuesday night will be on Zoom and in person. So if you want to come to the church, we'll meet downstairs around the tables for our Bible study. If you want to continue to be on the Zoom side of that, you are welcome to do that. For those that live out of the city limits and you got to travel, or maybe you're just not feeling up to going out at night, it works really nicely to have Zoom. So if you want to be a part of that and you haven't been, I just need to send you an invitation. Once you've had the invitation, you only need it once. So just a reminder for that. Anything else? We got Real Gals Christmas Party. Make the plans for that. That's coming up. Peering into Christmas, I'm really excited about the program, the play that is being put together right now. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a really cool way to present the gospel message through a drama. And we will have it here at the church live for you in person on the morning. But what we're asking you to do is to make it an outreach opportunity to invite neighbors and friends and family to watch an online version that will be professionally put together. Shane's laughing. I'm going to really press for that professionalism side of it. Our goals, and you know how goals are awesome, right? You shoot for the stars, you hope you hit the moon, right? So we're going to shoot for the stars with our goals of putting together a high-quality, edited version for you to present to people with our drama from that Christmas play. And then we can use that as an opportunity to just show them the gospel through that method. And of course, they don't have to be invited to your house, but maybe they want to ask questions, what have you. So make it a fun event at your home. To do it in the evening when it will be presented and available online as well. So that's our ministry goals. Technology is great, isn't it? All right. Well, well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the kids then to their kids' church. Oh, it's BGMC day, so Beth has it. Awesome. Thank you, Beth. The gentries are so wonderful, and giving of their time for our kids' ministries. Thank you for doing the missions focus. And we're going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. How many have gotten the app already for the church? You've gotten an invitation and you put it on your phone and you're able to follow along with the notes. You have all kinds of tools that are available. I hope that you're making it useful for yourself. Look at that. We're getting more and more in there. I wonder how many girls' monies went in there and how many. Well, we'll let the pastors work that out, and I'm out of it. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says here, "Beloved, I urge you as," this is a tough word in this particular translation, what you said. I've never been able to feel comfortable saying that word, and I've said it five different ways, and I still don't like it. So anyway, there's other translations that help us, which we'll get to, by the way. So, sojourners, exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Now, John chapter 17, also part of our text. John chapter 17. Jesus prayed for you a long time ago. Isn't that cool? John chapter 17, verse 14 through verse 16. Listen what he says in these prayers. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." We don't experience that anymore, do we? That was sarcasm. Have you ever wondered why there's so much vehement hatred towards the people that follow Jesus Christ in their whole heart? I could use a political statement there because we have made everything political, but I guess you could call me a conservative, right? In a political way, according to what they've determined that I am. Why am I conservative? It's really based upon my spiritual beliefs. And there is a lot of hatred towards you and I because of our spiritual beliefs. It's not because of politics. I just want you to realize that. So be careful about taking it personal. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war. So Jesus is telling us here in this prayer that we are going to be hated. This is nothing new. Verse 15, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." In other words, as you're hated and as you're being confronted because of your beliefs and your faith, don't take it to heart, but know that the Lord is praying for you that you will not lose faith. He will protect you from the evil one. Verse 16 says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." So that is our text. That is the beginning of this challenge where I'm going to ask you this question: what is your dwelling place? What is your dwelling place? Let's pray. Lord God, this word is important, especially today. And I think about what's happening on Tuesday with the election. I know there's a lot of heartfelt intentions behind every vote. And I know there's strong disagreements and opinions about who should be our president and our vice president and our senator and our congressmen. Congresswomen. And the lines have been drawn, and we have gotten ourselves caught up into it as well. Lord, you know where my heart is. You know where each of our hearts are. But I know that the challenge you've given me for this day, and the challenge that you are wanting us all to hear, is that we cannot rest our hopes upon a government. As we have seen over the last 4 years, As a president who has been supported greatly by the church, has tried to do his job, even in the midst of that, a lot of unrest, a lot of contentions, a lot of division. And if we put our hopes and our dreams and all that we stand for upon a government, upon a country that is made of human beings trying to organize and structure things just so, we are going to be disappointed. We are going to be divided. We are going to be torn. I don't know what your plan is, Lord, for this country right now. I do know that there are certain things that are certainly going to happen according to your sovereign will that we may or may not like. But Lord, what I do know is that I can trust you. I do know that we as a church can trust you, that we can stand upon your promises, and that we can be united by your Holy Spirit, regardless of our background, regardless of our heritage, regardless, Lord, of where we've been, we can come together as a family of believers that are on the same page. And we can dwell in your presence, and we can sit upon your word and not let the things of this world destroy what you are building. And so, Lord, I pray that as we open our hearts to your word today, that you will convict us where we need conviction, and you will encourage us where we need to be encouraged. You will strengthen us to have a strong will, that we will not bend, we will not turn aside. We need your spirit today, Lord. I need your spirit. May we find strength from you. And may we be men and women of conviction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 tells us that we are strangers and pilgrims. I like that translation. That's King James if you have it. Aliens and strangers. That's another translation, same words. Aliens and strangers. That's the New American Standard Bible, if you have that one. We are not at home. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand it emphatically. This is not your home. This is a place that you are called an alien and a stranger, a sojourner? Sojourner. I need help. I am just so bad at that word. We are on a journey as wanderers in this world. There we go. We're pilgrims. How are you doing, pilgrim? Pilgrim, I picture Sam Elliott saying that for some reason. I don't know, pilgrim. He says pilgrim the best, I think. Is John Wayne the one? Well, I've heard Sam Elliott do it too. So John Wayne, okay, the Duke's the boss. We'll go with the Duke. He's the man. He's the man. I'm a John Wayne fan too. I have to be. I grew up in my parents' home. If they're listening, they're going to say amen. I think they've seen every John Wayne film ever made, and they've probably seen him a dozen times or more, right? So we're pilgrims temporarily here. And yet, the temptation is constantly around us to be drawn into the idea that this is what it's all about. This is not what it's all about, this place here on earth. I really do love Glendive. I love this church. I love this community. It has its quirks. It has its problems. It has its ups and its downs, but we love it here. It's a wonderful place to live, even with all the good, the bad, and the ugly. But this is not my home. This is not your home. Do not put all of your eggs in this basket. It will not survive. And that is a challenge for us, especially as we see a very important election taking place. We want to think and see and pray that good things will happen here. But I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knew what was going to happen 4 years ago. I still remember watching the TV and my mouth dropped. Oh, I was one of those just going, what? President Donald Trump? Are you kidding me? And I was a little giddy and happy about it. I'll be honest. He's the guy I voted for. And I'm thinking, really? This is the guy that's going to lead our country? And I was like, I want to watch Home Alone again. Right? I want to see that scene because I was like, whoa, this is the, who would have thought? Nobody seemed to know this was going to happen. And I feel the same way about this coming Tuesday. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to take charge. But you know what? I know who is in charge. And regardless of who serves as our president, I know the king is still the king. God is still on his throne. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you, and he's interceding for me, and we can make it through all that comes our way. There's a really good example about the challenge that I'm trying to bring across, and it's a story that's often overlooked or not considered. An example of one who faced the pressures firsthand, and his name is Lot. He is the nephew of Abraham, who at the time was called Abram still. We're going to examine three places that Lot dwelled with his family. And there's going to be some speculation. There's going to be some open-ended questions that I don't have for sure answers to. But I do believe that his place of dwelling affected the course of his life. And it emphasizes the reality that the place of which we live here on this earth is not our dwelling place. It shouldn't be. Not when you come to your heart of hearts and your passion and your identity. Yes, you are living in Glendive. Yes, our high school has the Red Devils as a mascot. Go Red Devils! You know, that's like living over in Devil's Lake area saying, go Demons! And I still remember my brother was visiting and he's laughing about our mascot, you know, kind of making fun a little bit, which I don't blame him because I'm not a big fan of the devil emphasis. And so he's like, well, at least you're not the Demons. And I said, well, actually, that's our middle school. And he's like, really? Oh, wow. He's just shocked and awed. Well, guess I can get over the mascot, even though I may not care for this particular one. I love our students, I love our teams, and I love our school. But this isn't my home. This isn't my dwelling place. If all your passion is in this world, you will be greatly disappointed. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. All the way back to Genesis. Verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. I don't have to give the whole backstory, do I? Abram's called to go to a place that he's not told where he's going. Pack up your stuff and leave, Abram. And Abram left, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now Abram heard from the Lord and was told to leave his country, his people, his father's household. And here's the thing that's mind-blowing in some fashion. Lot, his nephew, decides he's going too. So he is with him heart and soul. And so he picked up his things, his family, and headed on out into a place unknown. It doesn't say whether Lot heard from God. Did he hear from the Lord also? Was he given a vision? Did he have a dream? I don't know the answer to that question. It's possible, it certainly is, or he simply had such faith in his uncle that he knew he could trust he's hearing from God. Now it's interesting, we don't have a lot of history here about a God-fearing family at this point. And I've read a story, a fictional story based on Abram's life, and some of what is given as a speculative perspective is that his faith was in a new God that they hadn't heard of. I don't know if that's the way it was or not, but we do have an interesting situation where God is speaking, Abram listens, packs his things up, and leaves. And Lot, whether he heard from God or not, we don't know, he follows him. So he chooses Jehovah over the idols of the land of which they lived. And he left the comfort and the security of Ur. So Lot becomes a Hebrew. What's a Hebrew? A wanderer. Someone who wanders around without a physical home. Have we heard a word that kind of sounds a little bit like that, but it's hard to say? I heard a word. I'm not going to attempt to say it again and embarrass myself three times in one message. Maybe I will. I often do. But basically, the word Hebrew is focused on the wanderer who travels and doesn't have a physical home with four walls, a hut or whatever. It's basically you live in tents and you wander around. That's what a Hebrew technically is. And so he becomes a traveler living in a tent along with his uncle. And they are pilgrims on a journey of faith. Is that similar to you and I? Yes, it is. We are pilgrims in this world, wandering through this thing called life without an established, this is my home feel. While you may have a house, you may have a mortgage, you may have a rental, you may have whatever you live in, it's not your home. This world is not your home. We have a home that we're looking forward to living in one day. Very similar to where Abram was on his journey. Where am I going? Oh, okay, I trust you. Let's go. What is this journey going to involve? I don't know, but I'm with you, Lord, heart and soul. This isn't my home, I get it. Where are we taking this journey? I'll show you as we go. Hallelujah. Here we are. Who would have thought we'd have this virus going on and masks would be worn and all kinds of restrictions and businesses shut down? Who would have thought that would happen here in this country? And, bigger question, who would have thought the entire world joined together with the same goal? Combining their efforts in the first time ever in the history of all of mankind that the entire world is joined together with one purpose. To somehow stop the spread of this virus. It's the first time, and it won't be the last time, that our world comes together cooperatively for a specific goal and mission. It will happen in an amplified way when the establishment of the New World Order begins. This is just a taste of what is to come. So Lot becomes a Hebrew. He becomes a traveler along with his uncle. Let's look at Hebrews. Go back to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 13. Speaking of the children of Israel who were called with a specific purpose to follow God, beginning with Abraham, and it mentions all these different patriarchs and matriarchs, it says this, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You are a stranger, a pilgrim, a alien, a sojourner. I'd had to try one more time. You are an exile. This is not your home. Why do you put so much into this life on this earth and not so much into the life that is to come? We need to get our priorities right. We need to recognize who our King of Kings really and truly is and quit living with such grief and anxiety over what's happening in this earthly world that we are living on at this time. I encourage you to find hope and faith. So we looked at Lot's tent. Now let's look at his house. This is where things get a little bit messed up. Going back to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 12 and verse 13. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now, you might remember from the story that Abram allowed Lot to choose where he lived. You remember that? And according to the description, Lot so generously chose the best for himself. Oh, I see something happening here. Now, if you want to get really into the heart of a man, you can question, why didn't Lot, being the nephew, not the elder, why did he not tell Abram, you take the best and choicest area? Why didn't he do that? Because there's something happening deeper that we can't see yet. That's my perspective. And so Lot, he chooses an area, and he moves his tent where? Not further from the city, but closer to it. And that's just a little inching forward that brings concern. Look at verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Where is your dwelling place, Lot? Well, I'm living in a tent. But I'm going to move my tent a little closer to the city. Chapter 14. In verse 12, you see the progression. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. I'm not reading the whole story here, but as you find this situation that has arisen, that Lot is now living in a house in the city. Chapter 19 of Genesis. Let's verify this so there's no doubt. Chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 1 and verse 2. As you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were exceedingly evil. They certainly stood against the Lord and all of his commands. And so God has seen the wickedness that is therein, and so he sends a couple angels to double check. I don't know why I just thought of Aaron Rodgers right there. Double check? Is there something with double check and Aaron Rodgers? What is that? Scott? I don't know. It's something to do with State Farm, right? Yeah, okay. All right, I'm just getting a little sidetracked. You know, the Packers and the Vikings are facing off today, so we're praying for the Vikings to have a win, finally. Please. The odds are not in our favor, I will say that. Going back to Genesis chapter 19, where the angels came to double check to see if the Lord was actually seeing it correctly, they went to the city and they found exactly what they thought they'd find. Verse 1 and 2. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and the Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." "No, we will spend the night in the town square," they said, and certainly that's not going to happen. And if you know the story, you know how horribly sinful it is. The occurrences that take place as men from that community come to do horrible deeds against those men, the angels that were sent by God. So you see the progression of the dwelling place of Lot. He moves his tent closer to the city. And then before you know it, not only is his house within the city gates, as we have seen, he is actually sitting in the city gates. What does that actually mean? He has now become part of the council of the elders of the city. Because if you know the history of cities from the Bible days, the city gates had an area that was basically like our courthouse. And the elders would sit in judgment over different things that took place. And they would listen to the pleas, and they would decide as a group of men that were involved with that decision-making process, and they would make edicts accordingly. And where is Lot when these two show up? At the city gate. He not only is living in the city, he is now a part of the city ordinances as far as the leadership goes. That's what's implied by the place of which they found him. I want to ask this question. What caused Lot to go so far as to settle within the city gates. Was it for safety? Was it because of needing the protection from enemies? It's very possible. We need to be protected from enemies. So let's quit living outside of the city walls and let's go within the city walls. We'll be so much safer there. Maybe it was for comfort. Maybe it's like, you know what? I'm tired of having to dig a hole to use the restroom out here in this country land. Hallelujah. I want to go into a place where it's a little bit more comfortable. I want to go and shop for food along the streets in the marketplace and maybe see if there's some fruit available. We don't have any fruit here. I mean, let's go in the city and live where we have more provision, you know, where we have more stuff at our fingertips and we can get drapes for the windows and have a house and maybe a little bit less sojourner-like. you gotta love it. It was just more practical. Well, let me ask you this question about where you dwell. And I'm not talking about the literal physical house. I'm asking for you to question your heart on the dwelling place of your established residence. How much of this earth has become your dwelling place? Where you have invested so much of yourself into this earthen vessel. And relate that to how much you've invested in the dwelling place of the Lord. And I'm not talking about a physical dwelling. I'm talking about a spiritual dwelling. What is your dwelling place? Lot found himself living in a house within the city gates of an evil, horrible place. That the sins were so terrible that God decided he needed to destroy it. Mercilessly annihilate it. First John. Chapter 2 and verse 15. It says here, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Colossians chapter 2, or chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2, it says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. What is your dwelling place? Whatever the reason was for Lot to move, and I had some words of speculation here based upon what happens next. And I can't help but wonder if maybe Lot was not the driving force that led them there. It's possible his family was insistent. As you know, what happens next is that they have to leave. Abram pleads with God not to destroy this city because Lot's living there. Lord, if there is 50 righteous people, will you relent? Yes, I will relent. If there's 45 people that are righteous, yes, I will relent for 45. I know, Lord, this is asking a lot, but if there's 40, and he continues, with graciousness and humility. If there's 30, Lord, if there's only 30, if there's 20, and finally gets to where there's, if there's just 10 righteous people, just 10, I will not destroy the city for 10. There weren't 10. Honestly, I don't know if there was one. I would like to say there was one by the name of Lot, who simply got deceived and twisted and somehow found himself in a place he shouldn't have been. I would like to say there was four, that his wife and his two daughters also were considered righteous. And often I have said, well, there was four, there wasn't 10, and yet God still got the four out. And yet what happened to the four? What happened after they were taken from this place of which was going to be destroyed? Genesis chapter 19, going back to Genesis. Verse 15 through verse 20. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. I mean, seriously, nuclear war is just about to break out on your city. It's time to leave. I was in the middle of this game and I can't pause it. You ever hear that, parents of kids? Come on. We used to argue, there is a pause button, right? Remember that? Fun times. Or I'm right in the middle of the Vikings and the Packers, and the Vikings are up by 3, and we're going into the last minute. If we could just keep them from scoring, we're going to win the game. All you naysayers, I believe in God. I believe in miracles. Kirk Cousins is a Christian man. He's going to pray it through. And he is, by the way. He's an awesome Christian man. Maybe not doing so great as a quarterback right now, but he's an awesome Christian man. So he lingers. Are you kidding me? You are going to be destroyed if you don't leave this home and this city. And he's lingering? And so they had to literally, physically take him by the hand. Whoa. Where was I at? Let's go back to that. 15. Okay. So he lingered. And it says this, so the men seized him. They didn't persuade, they seized. That sounds a physical grab and pull. Seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Literally brought him out and said, now you're out. What is going on with this man? That he lingers. That he won't leave. He knows destruction is about to fall. Well, has he become too comfortable in his house that is of this world? How many times have we found ourselves very comfortable in our worldly homes? Very comfortable with the blessings that we have. And maybe we've taken for granted these blessings. I think we have. Maybe those blessings are going to be yanked out from underneath our feet. Maybe the rug will be jerked and pulled, and we're going to be on our faces come Tuesday, Wednesday, and on. I don't know what the result's going to be. And I do know this, that no matter who's elected, there's going to be some unhappy people. And that could be all hell breaks loose all over again, no matter what. Is this going to dictate your faith? Is this going to dictate your peace? Is this going to dictate your joy? It should not. This is not your home. While I care about my country, and I love this country, and I care about where I live, and I love this community, it is not my home. And I can walk with God through anything I face, and I pray that you feel the same. As they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot says to him, "Oh no, my lords. Oh, no, 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 no. I added a few no's. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to. It is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. Lot, where's your home? He wants to go and stay in a little town. It's called Zoar, which apparently means little. Verse 23 and verse 24. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. So they're almost to the little town. They're probably within arm's reach. They can see it. It's right there in front of them. They come to this little town called Zoar, and the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valleys and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She died. Was her loss of this world so great that she couldn't let go? That's the question. What would it be for you in this world that if you lost it today, you couldn't help but look back? And you just, oh, really, Lord? Oh, come on. Where's your dwelling place? What do you truly put your hope and dreams in? So many things can relate. I think about back in 2008 and how the stock market crashed and people lost everything. I don't know how the recovery was for everybody, but I know it hurt a lot of people. But what I found out, the people that had their dwelling place with the Lord basically says, well, it would have been nice to have had that for my retirement. But I've got a much better retirement in store than any 501, whatever, 4K. What are these things called again? 401K. Yeah, there you go. You know how much I'm worried about it. I got a much better retirement plan with the Lord. And they really believed it. And they really lived it. And they didn't lose hope. They didn't lose faith. And I wonder how many of the church would feel that way today if things went bad again, if things suddenly were gone and you couldn't recover them. How would we feel? Would we feel like she did and just have to look back with that one more heartache plea of, oh my goodness, all my worldly possessions are gone? So we end up going from a tent to a house to a cave. In verse 30, Lot went up out of Zoar, lived in the hills. There's a ring of something similar or significant. Didn't the angels tell him to go to the hills in the first place? But he didn't want to go. I want to go to that little town. And whatever his reasons were, he didn't say. But I have to wonder if it wasn't for comfort, if it wasn't for the nice living, if it wasn't for whatever purposes of making himself feel a little safer. Who knows? But he didn't want to go to the hills, and now he goes to the hills with his two daughters. He was afraid to live in Zoar, so he lived in a cave with his two daughters. The situation that unfolds from there is grieving to the heart. Because while he was made to be drunk by his own daughters, they both became pregnant. And we have a situation here in verse 37 and verse 38. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. You might recognize that name. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son, called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. And you may recognize those names because they became enemies of God and were constant thorns in the flesh of God's people. So he joins the journey of his uncle, this man named Lot. But he cannot be appeased or find comfort or satisfaction living as Abram did. And so he finds himself within the city that is so evil that God needs to destroy it. He goes from a tent to a house, and after the destruction and God's judgment falls, he finds himself in a cave, and he ends up fathering two nations that become constant antagonists for most of the lives from these two tribes. What is your dwelling place? Are you still in the tent? Have you found yourself realizing this is not your home? And you're simply journeying through the life along with the Lord, trusting Him for each day, not really for sure knowing where this is going to end up other than eternity, but you're just walking the walk with Him and you are just loving life. You know He's your provider, He is your protector, He is your joy and your peace and your comfort. You don't need to live within the city walls, per se, of what the world offers for your comfort and for your protection and for your security. You know that God is enough. He will provide. Is that where you are in your heart of hearts? Then you are doing the journey right, just like we learn from our text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. We are journeyers. Sojourners, we are pilgrims, aliens. We are on this life journey, not really being welcomed here. Because we don't fit, and that's okay. Or have you found yourself wanting more comfort, a little bit more security, and you're beginning to trust in governors of this land, rulers of the city, presidents, if you will, congressmen and senators. I understand the process. I think we got a great system, and I think our Constitution is the greatest thing ever written by any government of men. It's pretty cool, but it is not my life. It is not my security. It's not all of my hopes and dreams wrapped into one. It is a wonderful place to live, but God is my life. He is my provider. He is my protector. And while I'm going to be a part of the process and I've already voted and I made sure it went in the box, it's not going to get lost in a post office somewhere. No worries, Jason. Oh, okay, awesome. I know it's going to be counted. Hallelujah, praise God. And I don't know what the result will be, but that is not all of me on that little paper. Aren't you glad that no matter what happens, you can still be okay? I'm glad. Did you know more people get saved during times of difficulty and troubles and trials and testings than they do when things are going well? Did you know that? Have you ever wondered when you've been praying for revival what you're actually asking God to do? Come on. I'm being right straight shooter here with you. You want to see revival? Then you're asking for some judgment to fall. You're asking God to shake things up a little bit, make people uncomfortable. Well, no, not that revival. I don't want that revival. I mean, I want the nice and easy, comfortable revival. I want the one that we just kind of, oh, hallelujah, let's get saved. No, that's not revival. Because revival happens when people are afraid. Revival happens when people are depressed. Revival happens when they are so overwhelmed with the world that they don't have any hope to live. And then they say, let's look to Jesus. That's revival. Now you're not going to pray for revival anymore. Well, let's wrap this up. We'll finish this lesson, shall we? We need to recognize that sometimes we find ourselves in a cave. We have been deceived. We have been pulled by the world. We've been taken in. But aren't you thankful that God can bring you out of the cave? He can bring you back to the tent, back to the way of living as you ought to have from the start, to recognize that you're on this journey with Him and this is not your home. You can live your life here. You can have your house and your community and your ministries and your touches, your jobs, all of these things. But when your passion and your heart and your home is with Him, nothing on this earth can change that. And you will find yourself faithful and fulfilled. I pray that you will understand the challenge of walking with the Lord in such a way. What is your dwelling place? Would you stand with me as we close? I've been real careful trying not to go too far with the analogy with Lot. But there's some really glaring problems with his choices and what led to his demise, if you will. So I believe that what we see here is something we can learn from. I think Lot put too much into this world and made it too comfortable for his home, and lost his place, lost his vision, lost what it was to be on that journey. I think it's important for us to guard our hearts. Guard your heart from the love of this world. While we live in this world, and Jesus didn't want us to be taken from it, not yet, He did pray for our protection from the enemy, because we have work to do here. We have people to reach and love. So as we close, I want to ask you that question. What's your dwelling place? I choose to be with Him, wandering in this world as a pilgrim. Lord, thank you for your challenge. And I pray, God, that you will continue to lead your people to not put all of their hopes into the things of this world. While we certainly live here, we deal with it, we're a part of it, we know that you're our world. You are our dwelling place. And I pray, God, that you will just encourage every heart today to refocus on that truth, to once again make that commitment, to put you as number one. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Keep praying for what's going on in our country. Amen.